Hi! On this episode of NSFW Show, we're joined by Patrick Rothfuss. You don't know who he is? Well, you're a damn idiot. He's a fantastic award-winning author, and we're going to spin a couple of yarns about handsome young gentlemen. Not gay enough for you? I do a dance called the Duck Hump. It's all coming up next on NSFW Show. Wink!
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for NSFW is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is NSFW episode 157, recorded on December 11th, 2012. Duck it.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use offer code NSFW12. And recently, they've launched a developer platform for complete code control. And Pond 5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker looking for video, photos, illustrations, music and sound effects, After Effects, or 3D models, check out Pond 5. And for an exclusive 50 free stock media files, go to pond5.com/NSFW.
Selling to the customers to make them feel all right.
I'm buying all these products with oh so much delight.
I can help you find anything you could possibly want.
Such ostentatious goodies that I can flaunt.
Selling is service.
And service is selling.
Service is selling.
And selling is service.
Go!
Oh no, that's it! We get go time! The new show full of wind, the new sauce for the Webernets, the show that is nominally safe for work. Hello, beautiful people. And after that, the magnum opus of all that is awkward, my name is Brian Brushwood. I'm your humble host, joined as always by the inimitable co-host, part man, part machine, part Dancitron 8000. It's the original DC maestro himself. It's Justin Robert Young. What's going on, Professor JRY?
Well, pee my pants. This is going to be one hell of a show here, Brian. Number one, I think the sexual tension in that opening video was just so much that I think fan fiction has already been written about it.
Can we take a moment? Because if it were up to me, the entire next hour would be nothing but us playing this at like 10 seconds at a time.
Now, I'll tell you what. Listen, we will go through it. We're gonna dissect it a little bit more because it does demand to be talked about. But allow me to introduce our guest. That merry roar of laughter that you've already heard here on this podcast is from a amazing author. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Rothfuss. Welcome.
Huzzah!
To the
program. Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. This is amazing.
Hey there.
Now, by the way, I like that Patrick appears to be like vaguely self-conscious about the fact that before we went live, he was just like, I am a massive head. Is that all I am on your podcast? And like as he starts, he just sort of pushes back a little bit farther. I'm fine.
I like it as a massive head. You know, I think it gives you a real stamp of authority. Like you are beaming in from an ethereal plane.
So, we're
I felt
only
like
hair
Oz, great and powerful, you know, looming in like this.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about that. You don't want to look at me that close.
No, that's okay. Well, you says you. Okay, first of all, for anyone who's not familiar with the name Patrick Rothfuss, get ready to. You think Tolkien is a name? You think George R. R. Martin somebody?
Poop face.
It's all Patrick Rothfuss. Okay, first of all, And this is I don't usually do this. I'm going to pull back the curtain on NSFW. There are a few people that we've had on the show.
So rarely do we reveal personal details about ourselves on the show.
I know, but I like to just spice things up from time to time, you know, just be a little honest, you know. But, like, this is sincerely, it was Trey Ratcliffe, the photographer, who turned me on to Name of the Wind, and I fell in love with it very, very deeply. And of course, the sequel, The Wise Man's Fear as well. Can we just get this out of the way? Because I know you deal with this on every appearance you ever make. When is the third book expected?
There is no set publication date right now.
I thought you were about to say, there is no third book, leave me alone, click. And then that was going to be the end.
Just hang up and I'm done.
Yes.
Drop the mic and I'm out.
I know. That would just be like an amazing, bizarre Goodreads version of a Ding Dong Ditch, where you just went on shows and immediately upon being asked about the release schedule of your book, you just said, "Never, nerds."
How do you deal with that, though? And on the one hand, on the great list of problems for a fantasy author to have, that's got to be top of the list, is annoyed fans demanding more of your awesome content, right?
It is sort of the writer equivalent of first world problems. But it really got to me for the second book because I was so new and I'd made promises. Like, I did like 20 interviews in the first month I'd been published. And all of them said, "I promise it'll be out in a year. I promise it'll be out in a year."
Oh, no.
And so, like, everybody read those interviews. And then, like, 4 years went by where I realized I had no f-ing idea, you know, what I was doing as a published author. I'd never met a hard deadline before. But these days I'm a little more relaxed about it. I showed that if I have enough time, I can produce a good book.
Right.
I was just so, like, terrified at first of screwing it up, and I felt all this Midwestern guilt about not getting it out when I said I would. But
I know it's demon words in your body. Yeah, sure. Okay, so for those who don't know, I don't want to say there's a hook to your book, because that would seem to reduce everything down to something, but something that I found very novel and engaging was the incredibly scientific way that I'm going to use the air quotes here for magic. That is, you know, with sympathy and everything that's handled in the book, everything has a consistent logic to it that, and you explore it in novel ways so that as people figure out ways to use the internal logic of the book, you get these awesome surprises. Like I don't even know what to ask. Like how much of the success of this series has to do with this unique take on the fantasy genre? Because I've not really experienced anything that I found so scientific-y in a magic kind of genre.
You know, I've heard some people call it science fantasy, actually.
That's a great way to put it.
Where, you know, if you have magic that's just like pure magical and you can never predict it, it's sort of like the Harry Potter books, where you can tell that a lot of shit is just kind of getting made up on the spur of the moment.
Sure.
But there can be some fun to that. It can be almost like a fairy tale where things are like wonderful and amazing. And that's what you're going for with that sort of magic, like delight and wonder. But I've always kind of liked knowing how things work. And you can get other things out of a story when your magic has rules that it follows and the reader knows the rules. That means when something clever happens, your reader gets to feel clever understanding how it works. And I've always wanted to have clever readers. So,
I'll tell you what, that is a very, very good point. And in the same way that you create drama and hook in the reader using the rules of your magic, this show also has rules. I don't know if you were aware, but we're not allowed to curse on the show.
My bad.
That's double dong. What? Hold on. That means, let's do it. Let's just get it over with. There it is. That's the belt. This thing. This is the belt of shame. Goes to one Patrick Rothfuss. The question is, will he? The chat room is very excited about it already.
So there we go. Whenever you curse, not allowed to curse. Can't curse. If you curse, you get the belt of shame, for which the shameful dance music comes on, and you have to just bang your head. And
what
start
I love
crying.
Most is that Justin, like the fact that we're in the middle, like I'm in the middle of geeking out. All I want to do is hear what Pat has to say, and Justin, all that thing that Justin just did was really code for like Brian. He cursed. You played the damn song, and then he was calling me out. And there it is.
And, you know, I actually had a running bet with somebody, like, how far could I make it into the show without cussing? And I think I lost it. I didn't make my solid 5 minutes like I promised I would.
Wait, where are you from originally, Pat?
Mostly central Wisconsin. I traveled when I was younger, but this is where I've lived my whole life.
City
much.
Of Lights.
That's, wait, Wisconsin?
We have lights here. Yeah, that's about all that can be said for Central Wisconsin. There.
That explains all the extended passages on cheese throughout the entire series. So what's the hardest thing? And I'm promised I'm almost done geeking out because I know we're a comedy show. No. That not a Brian freaking out about a fantasy series that he's seriously in love with. What is the hardest thing that you felt like you were outside of your comfort zone that you had to do a little bit of research on the? And by the way, the books, it's the King Killer Chronicles. Is that what it is?
Yep.
And it's a Name in the Wind, and the follow up is The Wise Man's Fear. Do you have a title for the third one yet?
We have a tentative title, but it's not set in stone yet.
Can we just look? We could use a leg up here. It'd be great if you could just publicly confirm.
Just do it in Pig Latin or something.
No. Just I'll tell you what. Let's help us out. Just say I'm Patrick Rothfuss, and I can confirm that book three will be called Boners in the Mist. Just throw that out there.
Broners, actually.
Broners.
Yeah.
I can't Broner.
I guarantee you we'll have a mock-up of the cover before the show's over.
Yeah, my editor will love that.
So wait, is the new book, does that tie things up for King Killer? Is that just the third installment?
That is number three story is done. This story will be finished in book
will be wrapped up. So the thrilling conclusion of the King Killer Chronicle, Broner.
So he opens up a portal to My Little Pony world. It'll be amazing. Broner's in the Mist. Okay, look, Justin, what are we up to today, man?
Well, hell, listen, we're just going to be screwing around with Patrick here. And also, there was we had a little powwow, me and you, Brian, on the phone, and we were talking about what we wanted to do on the show. We came up with an idea. And then you told me that you played a game, and I don't even want to get it. Well, how do you explain it? It was an unintentional game.
Like, first of all, I did not say that I was playing a game. What I said was I had an experience with my wife, and I started to describe it, and you're like, "This
and
is
I
our
said,
bits."
Go on. What? An experience with your pregnant wife? Please continue.
Okay. So where do you want to go first? I'll tell you what, before we even begin, should we take a moment to thank the fine people who make NSFW possible?
I feel like, are we like 5 minutes into the show? Fine. Yeah, whatever.
5 minutes. I'll tell you what, while you're looking that up, I guess.
I got it.
Okay. All right. What's up, man?
All right.
Who?
So, of course, the fine people that make this show possible. Brian, who are they?
I don't know, because I can't imagine anyone would like to actually give money to keep NSFW on the air. Whoever they are.
You'd be a goddamn liar. I'll tell you what. It's a little company called Pond 5.
Pond 5? Wait a minute.
There are only five ponds, and they have control of all of them. It was an epic quest. They only had three for a while. And then they found the fourth and realized the fifth was in their heart.
By the way, hold on. You realize we've got like a genuine author over here. We should hit him. What happened? What was the story? What happened between Pond 3 and Pond 5, Patrick Rothfuss?
Well, you've seen Crawl, right?
Yes! Sure. Best open ever. Keep going.
But it was pretty much like that, you know, where they had to go to the mountain. They had to get the horses so they could make it there in time before the sunset. It was epic, but you know, you've seen it before.
Yeah. So, sure. So that was Pond 4, but now we're on to Pond 5.
You know, pretty mediocre.
So,
but I'll tell you what ain't mediocre. All the goddamn movies and stuff you can make if you go to Pond 5. If you're unfamiliar, if you're just listening to this for the first time, and you're.
Uh-oh. Oh, it had to happen. This is it. You're witnessing it live. Oh, this is God. Everything. This is what it looks like. You guys are seeing it right now.
This is where everything goes.
Everything will freeze. Everything, and it will lose, and then this is going to pop up and say lost. And then I'm going to have to walk over and goose the connection. Hold on. Sit here. You guys talk to the folks, and then that way Tony Wang won't have to do anything. Explain what's going on.
Hi there, people. This is Roberto Villegas, host of my so-called 8-Bit Life. Brian is experiencing what's known as a technical difficulty. Time Warner happens to have really, really crappy connection over here, sadly, because, well, they kind of suck as an ISP. No offense.
Wow.
What?
Keep going. This is great.
Well, because that's what they do. They are a terrible ISP. I'm not going to lie. And so what Brian's doing right now is rejigging the cables, making sure everything is fine and connected. And it looks like we're back on the air in some capacity.
No, we're not. We're not yet on the air.
Well,
keep talking.
Okay. Well,
you keep this alive, sir.
I am keeping this alive. So because of this, Tony, you're going to have to edit this portion out.
No, he won't.
Okay.
This, not this time. This will be the first time I'm not going to his editing it out.
All right. Well, then it turns out you get to keep this one in the file. It's going to be a bit strange, a bit kind of peculiar because, A, Brian's on the screen and you're hearing this kind of strange, mystical voice that's never been on Twit in terms of a voice.
Well, you except for like you always every week.
Except every week I've been as sort of a headless horseman.
Yes.
Much like I am now.
All right. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, Pat Rothfuss, what you just witnessed was my internet crapping out. It is want to do on Tuesday nights. So if you could send me video, we'll get you back on. But in the meantime, me and Justin are going to talk about what's great about Pond5 and their stock media marketplace. Because whether you need 3D models, photos, video, sound effects, background music, whatever it is, Pond5 has it. Right, Justin?
Ryan, do you want to be some sort of disgusting vagrant putting out garbage on the internet? You don't want to be that guy. We all know that guy, okay? We watch their videos. Your friend sends you the clip. Hey, look at my video. Remember to share. And you look at it and you're like, this stinks. This stinks like a bum's butt multiplied by 8 other bum butts, okay? So what you want to do is not be that guy. You want to go to Pond5. That's good. 5, as in the final 5 Cylons.
I don't know if that's the parallel you want to draw. I'm not thinking that's going to help us out a whole lot.
Photos, vector illustrations, music tracks, sound effects, customizable motion graphic templates, 3D models, and more. Let your videos and pictures go all around the watchtower.
Hold on, I'm trying to hypnotize the audience into liking Pond5.
Look at that, hypno loops. When's the last time you got a hypno loop up in your life? Now you have it.
Actually, it's
imagine
pretty trippy.
You have a crappy video and you're like, wow, this is terrible. How about I just throw in a hypno loop at the end? And be like, you love my video.
But this is actually one of the free 50 clips they have up at pond5.com/NSFW, all caps, NSFW.
By the way, we're burning daylight on this year contest that we have, because Pond5 was nice enough to go ahead and give us 50 free clips. And like we said, listen, the end goal that we have is so Pond5 understands that NSFW chat realm diamond club mofos are the most creative, interesting people on the internet, and then they give us more of these things.
Sure.
And more better clips, and we keep making more better videos. But again, those are the Glengarry leads. To give them to you would just be giving them away.
So, and that's
they're
the thing,
for closers.
It's like, look, it ain't rocket science. You just throw on a hypno loop and then just play like the Africola soundtrack in the background. Give us something to work with, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Now, if you go ahead and we had last week, we had the amazing Old John Smokey biopic.
Yeah.
Trailer. And that right now is the leader in the clubhouse.
It's the only.
Bring us something else to the table.
Sure, man. We don't ask for much outside of all your money from time
A-B-P,
to time.
ABP, gentlemen, always be ponding.
All right, where should people go? Pond5.com/NSFW, correct?
That's where you're going to go, and you're going to get 50 free clips. Use those 50 free clips to make up a funny little video. Again, this ain't got to be long here, folks. We're like 10 seconds. Make a funny little silly video. We'll look at it. We'll giggle. One of us will fart uncontrollably. I'm not going to say who.
You're pointing the wrong way. Okay, thank you.
I was trying to point to Patrick, but he wasn't brought up yet.
I didn't want to call it. There we go. Now, there you go.
There we go.
Done.
Double engine. So go ahead over there. We're all going to laugh and have a good time when you make a little video of Pond5. And again, How about this? How about you go out and you shoot a video? You got one of those fancy cameras. You're out in the park one day and you see a duck literally do a backflip.
Oh, like a
backflip. Skateboard.
The backflip. And you're like, hump duck, we call him, because he does a backflip and he does like a duck hump dance. He goes,
yeah, he's just a duck. And he's just like yeah, do the duck hump.
Doing the backflip, duck
hump. Right.
That's not doing the duck hump. That was my fault. I shouldn't have.
Put a hump in your duck. Hell yeah.
No.
You want to? And you see a duck doing that, and then you go ahead on to Pond 5. You sell that for big bucks because someone's gonna buy that. Duck humps are gonna be the new Call Me Maybe in 2013. That's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack.
Can I get a T-shirt that just says, quote, dunk humps are going to be the new Call Me Maybe, quote, Justin Robert Young.
You're going to see kids, 12-year-old kids, duck humping their T-shirt. That's a fact of life.
And you can get paid if you only record it and send it in to our friends over at
Pond. You can go to Pond 5 and you can sell it, which is where I was getting with this whole thing, is that you can film that and go sell it on Pond 5. On Pond 5. Wow.
Pond 5. Wow. Boy, nothing but hits with you and me, Justin, as usual.
E-H. Duck humps.
Okay, so where do you want to head first? Oh, can I tell you a little bit about our friends that we have here in studio? We got a whole crowd of folk.
Sure. Let's go ahead and say, yeah.
So, why not? So here's the thing. We have our first ever episode of Scam School that we shot here in Austin.
What's that?
Scam School is a show I host. It's on the internet. It's about social engineering at the
why?
Bar.
Why?
That's because. Hey, did you watch the Titanic review of
yes.
Red Letter?
Oh, my God. I watched it immediately.
We'll
Red Letter Media, the guys at Red Letter Media, again, like, it would be inappropriate how much I would just. I would duck hump them if I saw them.
So, okay. So here's what happened is we went and shot Scam School and we brought a special guest in. I already got him on camera here. I need you guys on camera. This is Russ, one of our big donors in the Indiegogo. He came out and was in a couple of episodes of Scam School. And then we also have here in studio, we have Vincent 404 and a falling webcam and Chris Ronan as well. So we got an awesome group. So when you hear people cackling in the background, that's what that's all about.
Awesome. I do also want to point out that there was somebody who came all the way up from Anaheim here. Alex is here live in the Twit studio. If you want to come visit the Twit studio, go look up the address and just show up here when we shoot the show. If you want to go to Brian's house, just like literally just knock on the door at any time.
Just by all means, show up. Make it as awkward as you can. And what I'll do is I will set you in a tiny chair behind me so I can treat you like a petulant child.
You just show up at Brian's house and ring the bell and then just go, oh, here I come. I'm a duck humper. And then just duck hump it.
Okay, so look, here's what I want to do, Justin. Last night, Bonnie and I were talking about, little preview action. This is also the first first Scam School episodes recorded with me with like normal grown-up hair because I got my hair cut this morning. And to help me out, we did a little looking around on skater cut hairstyles, and we found a bunch of sites that had images for dudes, and it was interesting because it seemed as though all these images had a story in the background is what I'm trying to say.
So what we wanted to do is, since we have somebody who is literally world renowned for his characters and plotting and story creation ability, we wanted to take a look at these headshots of handsome young boys and their haircuts and paint a little fun story right here on the show.
Patrick, are you up for the challenge? Because you look like somebody who would have something to say about other people's hairstyles.
Well, you know, if anybody knows haircuts, it's me. If you look at Pat Rothfuss, the brand really screams well-groomed.
Well, listen, look at it like this, Patrick. We're going to have all these pictures are going to be of model handsome young men. This could easily be like a pitch to the CW. We're writing a paper pitch to the CW right here.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so I'm actually, unfortunately, Skater Cut for Boys is what I have to look up.
Wow, that looks like something that you should be ashamed if an FBI investigator found
it. That's one of those URLs that you wipe out of your history, I'm afraid. You don't know.
I feel bad. I should have entered incognito mode before typing these words. Also, I should have enabled VPN. Also, I should have set fire to my computer.
you also... It seems like a website that somebody who uses one of those like Tor servers where like it's literally untraceable, like that they would use. Like, everyone's like, yeah, like no one's able to see what I browse. It's like, well, that means you're probably browsing some really dirty stuff.
Man, I can't find the exact site that we were at earlier. I hope my wife is downstairs listening. But here, I'm just going to go to the Google Images here, and we'll see what we could come up with. And I'll go ahead and do screen capture over here. And let's take a look here. Pick whoever you like to begin with here, Justin.
No. Brian, just give us one.
I don't know. There's a pick lot to one. Work with. There. Oh, this guy right here. This is where we started. This is from the site. It's becomegorgeous.com. And we just we were fascinated with what each of these were. There you go. Skater Boys hairstyles. Hold on. So I figure we should come up with a name. And a background and an interesting tale.
All right, well, here, let's just go to one, and then we'll do it like kind of problem solver style. Like somebody comes up with the name, somebody comes up with the with the job, and then the third person tells us what his conflict is.
Okay, great. So this guy right here, his name is Larry McCabe.
Okay. Patrick, tell us what his job is.
Well... He obviously grew up in Columbus before moving to California at the age of 17. When he was in Columbus, he was actually a farmhand, but out in California, he works as a barista while trying to sell his screenplay about a young mother trying to come to grips with her relationship with her estranged parents.
It's pretty okay. good. It's pretty good.
And I would say his conflict is that he has a deal in place to sell his screenplay, but it's a older gentleman producer. And it is very, very is made implicit as he gets further into the deal that this would be a sexual favor situation. And now he has to wrestle with the choices that that have come along with his new screenwriting career. Also, he is in love with a girl who makes spin art for a living.
Now, okay, so the question to him, like the conflict, is does he have what it takes to become a duck humper? Is that what I'm hearing?
I believe he would get duck humped. That's what we're looking at. And so now he has to make that decision. How far is he willing to go to make his dream come true, young Mr. McCabe?
I'll tell you what, I think that's $1 billion screenplay right there. Let's
I think every day he wakes up and thinks, he looks in the mirror and thinks, are my lips pouty enough?
Okay.
And the answer is probably no, not no. enough.
The answer is until he finally becomes this caricature with balloon lips that walking around like finally he sees his perfect match, a balloon twister at Applebee's, and he says, "Can you please?" And the guy twists some giant lips, they just glues, and he's like, "Now I am complete."
All right, now Brian, why don't you show us a picture of his best friend?
Oh, his best friend, this guy right here. His name. What's his name, Justin? I forget.
That guy's name is Lance LaRue.
Lance LaRue, if I'm not mistaken, he's from Canada, isn't he? He grew up just outside of Quebec and always had a fascination with Spanish language. And so he decided to hitchhike down from Quebec across. Now, he got caught up all in Wisconsin, fell in love with a cheese, never realized his goal of actually making it down to Mexico to learn Spanish.
Okay, so what is job? What is his job, and how does he know McCabe?
Well, he's a blogger.
No job.
he he blogs about the cheese, and mainly it's like one of those blogs where it's like for people who understand what it's like to want something very badly but not get any closer to it. And he talks about like cheese is great. Would love Spanish. Would love to learn Spanish.
Gotcha. Yeah, all right, and Patrick, what is his conflict?
His conflict is the fact that he's actually adopted. He's actually a changeling, as you can clearly tell. He's half elvish on his mother's side, and his parents never told him, and that's why it's really hard for him to drive American made cars. It's all the iron in the frame.
That's good.
Well, but you know what, Brian?
Yes. No, sure.
Why don't we go ahead and see a picture of their boss at the coffee shop for which they work?
Oh, boy, is he a tough one. Take a look at that guy. His name,
Patrick. Patrick gets the name.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, he has to be Austin. He's an Austin.
Austin, what's his last name?
Austin.
Austin. His name is Austin, but everyone just loves to call him Josh Connolly because he looks so much like the fabulous Josh Connolly of film.
Patrick is right. He just goes by Austin now. Nobody really even knows his last name.
Yeah. So where's he from, Justin?
Well, you know, the thing with Austin is that he was from Laredo and then moved to Austin just so he could have people make the joke.
Okay.
But what happened is eventually he his father, of course, being a railroad magnate, he got a got on one of the trains heading west and bought in cash the coffee shop for which our Lance and McCabe work at. And now is really just trying to find himself through the use of Tai Chi and free form poetry, for which he consistently tries to get opinions on by the people that he has hired at the coffee shop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, his real conflict is that he loves to slaughter and have sex with the corpses of rats, street rats, strats. Strats, as he calls them. He calls them
Stratocaster is his nickname.
His eyes follow you no matter where you're sitting.
It's actually true.
It's like the Mona Lisa.
He also wanted to join the army. I can tell kind of by the set of his jaw and the fact that one of his ears is higher than the other.
Now, is it just me? Does it look like underneath this frame he's maybe like he's got a fist and he's like clenched? Like, I just picture the rest of his, he's like, like that, like picture him doing this, and I don't know what's in his hand, but it's clear he's like squeezing something really hard.
No, actually, Brian, that's actually wrong. I've seen the rest of this picture. What he's doing is very delicately opening a bottle of Perrier.
I could see that as well. I'm not seeing it.
And he's handing it to you, girl.
I think his power level is about to reach 9,000.
Oh, it's over 9,000. That's for damn sure.
You want to know what, though, Brian?
What?
There is a regular customer into this coffee shop. By the way, Brian, what is the name of the coffee shop again? I forget.
The Crematorium. If I'm not mistaken. It's where you get it.
The Crematorium.
Sweet or spicy is their tagline. The Crematorium.
And there is a regular person who comes in there. He, of course, is the Crematorium Entertainment. He's a real troubadour with a troubled soul. Who is the guitarist who comes in? There he is.
You know what I love about this bit, Justin, is there's literally none of these pictures that I could put up that would not instantly be hilarious.
Oh, by the way, this is another one of those suck on it and like it audio listeners episodes, so I'm sorry, guys.
They can hear the joy in our voices as we say it. So this guy, now he does a weird, I forget his name. Could you remind me of his name, Justin?
Oh, his name is Finnegan Spear.
Yes, Finnegan Spear does bawdy racial humor set to Irish sea chanties. He's like, oh.
Oh my God. All right. Number one, what you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, is Brian painting himself into a corner that he instantly regretted painting himself into. Because number one, he had to make up a song on the fly. And number two, he had to make it racist.
Oh, a song about Mexicans. And then that's all I got. That's as far as I know. But you can see him up there, right? And it's like he's got like a he's got like a growler that he holds, and it's got like a like Guinness, and he's got a growler of Guinness and a bunch of Mexicans. What a weird thing to imagine.
No one said he was good.
In fact, actually, he sounds suspiciously like Brian crumbling under pressure. He gets on stage, and like week after week, he gets on stage like, this time I'm going to do it, man. I've got a great song. But he never quite writes it down.
That's actually the name of his band, Brian Crumbling Under Pressure. We're Brian Crumbling Under Pressure, y'all. Good night.
Oh, something about South Americans, I guess.
He has a very particular brand of racism. Stay in your niche.
Yes, but he's got a conflict. He's deeply conflicted. Patrick, what's going on deep inside of him?
Well, he was going to be a chemical engineer, and that was how he was going to make his fortune, but he dropped out of school, and so he doesn't actually have the paper to sell his main invention, which is spray-on beard. Which he uses every day, and no one has ever noticed that it's not a real two-day beard. But the truth is that he can't actually grow a beard and sprays on just a little bit every day.
He's got, like, alopecia is what it is. It's like, that's a wig up top. Fair enough, man. Justin, are there any more characters left in this tale?
There's only one. Of course, the villainous city councilor who is looking to shut down Austin's crematorium. Listen, he's a real ball buster, and now they all have to band together to stop
Fabian LaRue.
Lance's brother.
Who would have seen it coming? But poor Fabian, he was always angry at the very venture. They needed to shut down this den of artistic inequity. He never thought it was right that other people should get on stage drunken with their growlers.
Well,
of
here's the problem, Brian, about Fabian. Of course, Fabian and Lance were identical twins. And then Fabian went through a horrifying accident that turned him the worst thing of all, brunette.
It is quite literally the worst thing in this world one could be.
So instead of being a man who could attract females with the snap of his finger like his brother, he had to do the most dirty, disgusting thing that only the ugliest of society apply themselves to: politics.
Right.
He ran for city council in Venice Beach, and now he has an irrational hate for all kinds of fun hijinks, all the singing, all the racist chanties that go on in Austin's crematorium, and he's hell-bent on stopping it. But wait, there's a hidden conflict, Patrick?
He's actually a secret goth.
Is he?
He's closet goth, and he worries that his eyeliner addiction is going to eventually become public knowledge, and he will never be able to become president.
Now, the most exciting thing about this entire experiment, for those of you guys who didn't know what we were actually heading for, we can now confirm that what you just heard is the outline for the third King Killers Chronicle book, Broners in the Mist, by Patrick Rothfuss. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
You heard it here first, folks. Go ahead and post it on your Goodreads forums.
Broners
in the Mist.
Broners in the Mist.
Coming next week.
Oh, Patrick, enjoy that for the next 5 years.
Oh, man.
Before we give him any chance to respond, let me remind you guys that this show is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace. I've never heard of them, but they sound like the most outrageously awesome way to make a blog, portfolio, or any other kind of website. I don't know. I like to judge my services just on name only. And I don't know about you, but they seem like the kind of people who, in the middle of Hurricane Sandy, would be so committed to keeping their servers on fire that they would actually take gas upstairs to pour servers on fire.
Metaphorical fire. They took metaphorical gasoline. So the internet, like the hearth in a communal village, could remain burning as we warmed our glowing hands on its warmth. Folks,
that's pretty much what I meant.
Of course. Here's the deal, folks. Squarespace, we've talked about Squarespace forever. It is the only way that you need to make a high quality website or blog. It says right here in the notes.
Name one reason. I don't believe you. Those are lies coming out of your mouth. You know how I could tell? Because you got a beard. And we all know bearded people lie. And the longer their beard, the more they lie. The more, I'll tell you what, watch this. Watch this. Hey, Patrick, is it true that Broner's in the Mist is your next book?
It was actually going to be a big reveal at this year's Comic-Con, but I'm afraid you've broken the story early.
See how long that beard is? And that part about Comic-Con was a lie. Everything else totally true, though. Keep going.
Because they've canceled Comic-Con. You want to know what
never
gets canceled? Squarespace's service. You can't bring this thing down, okay? It's not like Fabian LaRue goes down constantly on any gentleman with a whistle. No! This here service will make sure that you remain up for any amount of traffic that comes there. Also, you don't need to be a goddamn a wizard doing magic like you're a character in a goddamn Patrick Rothfuss book, okay? To figure out how to work this thing. It's very, very simple. Drag and drop. These templates look gorgeous. You are going to have a fantastic experience. Squarespace 6, which isn't even new anymore. It says here, don't mention it as new. It ain't new. You want to know why? Because it's proven. It's been beaten up, run through the mud, and it's still standing. Better than it ever did. Okay? It's an amazing piece of online software, and you need to go check it out for yourself.
All right, here's the thing, Justin. I don't trust nothing that I can't try out myself. Also, I don't have a credit card. Plus, also, I may, in fact, be living under an assumed identity. What do you say?
Well, number one, eventually you'll need a credit card to use the service, so please apply for credit. But
I only like to try things out.
In the intervening 2 weeks, you can try this thing. No money down, baby. Like, you can just roll in. If Squarespace was a physical thing, you could roll in to their establishment and be like, I want to try out what you guys got. And they'd be like, fine. And then you'd be like reaching in your pocket and be like, hey, let me pull out a few ducats to satisfy your craving money lust.
What did you just say? Pull out a few what?
Oh. Ducats.
Duck humps.
See, I thought you said duck humps, which is so weird because I have a new website. Where I'm gonna hold on. Let's just
little ducks hump.
See, that's okay.
When ducks hump.
Look, this is my new website. Duck humps are going to be the new "Call Me Maybe" by Justin Robert Young. It's a T-shirt line where we're gonna get the word out on it. That's what I was wanting.
I'll tell you what, man. That's gonna you're gonna put the quack in attack when you duck hump somebody randomly.
So what you're saying is, if I wanted to
duck hump season, rabbit hump season,
quack attack season, go ahead.
So here we go. They're not going to take any goddamn money from you. Keep your money in your pocket, all right? If you like the service after 2 weeks and you decided to become a subscriber, go ahead and do it. What we've always said, and what Squarespace loves about this show specifically, is you guys make silly websites, you get a sense of what Squarespace is, and when you want to make something serious, you know what to do.
Justin,
you know
if I may.
Figure it out.
If I may, how about somebody do a free trial and say, maybe, I don't know, bronersinthemist.squarespace.com. Go ahead and make the first go ahead and break the story on Patrick Rothfuss's new book, Broners in the Mist, right?
Dude, there's no other way to do it. That is just what's going to happen. Here's what you
they should use a code. They should use a code when they check out, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. NSFW12.
Because it's the 12th month.
No. Because 12 is the best number ever.
Screw you, pie.
So there we go. And you get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans, man. So you can just go ahead, knock out your year's worth of hosting, of service there for Squarespace. Boom, 10% off the top. They say that 10%, don't even worry about that. Go buy yourself a Beanie Baby.
Just make sure it's a duck.
Go ahead and pre-order Broners in the Mist, the thrilling conclusion of the King Killer Chronicles.
On Amazon.com right now for pre-order.
Yeah. Okay, here's what's sad, Patrick, is I heard you say those words, and I thought, wow, chat room is good. But then I realized that you were just making that up.
So there we go. NSFW12, of course, Squarespace.com. We love them. They're the best people ever.
Yes, they're literally better than Florence Nightingale. They in fact, Florence Nightingale looks like Jack the Ripper compared to Squarespace.
That's a real whore.
She's a total flea bag whore. Hanging out with Lance LaRue.
Good old Does that Florence. Mean that she is a flea bag and also a whore, or yes. That she fancies flea bags? Hey, you flea bag! Why don't you come and get up in me?
Okay, so usually we have 3 bits planned for every episode. But I don't think we had anything else figured out for this.
We do.
What? What do we have?
Go ahead back to that opening video because we're gonna spend a little time on that one.
Oh yes. Okay, so you had you seen this before, Patrick?
I'm gonna call a bunch of pipe hitting minis. We are gonna go medieval on
I'm
this.
I'm gonna
video.
Put a, get a bunch of pipe hitting quackers. Is that what you're saying?
Basically.
All right. Hello there, Nick. How you doing today?
Whoa! All right, hold on.
Dude, you're proud. I know where this is headed. I know where this is headed. Your brain was already in vaguely racist mode, and you heard, hello there, Nick, and then your brain just short-circuited right there.
Just play it again and tell me you don't hear it. Because I was about to, if that would have happened, I would have literally just exploded into
hello
light
there,
like Mega
Nick
Man.
Key, how you doing today?
That's, I do.
Nick Key, how you doing today? How you do?
No, go back to hello there.
Hello there, Nikki. How you doing today?
That's pretty good.
No, By the way, also that Nikki in that picture does look. She looks like Notorious B.I.G. in the Juicy video. Like she's just like on the phone, just yelling and sweating.
All right, man, I gotta know where this.
I'm
came
in
from.
A good mood, and it's here.
I've got a customer here that wants an ulu to buy.
I'll send one right over. I've got plenty in supply.
Hello.
I like the extra
hands in there.
I know she does. She puts a little stank on it, which is like supply. I love it.
Exactly. That's actually in the background. If you just go ahead a few frames back there, sure. With Nikki. I said Nikki in the supply room. That actually is gang affiliation signs that those two young ladies in the back are throwing.
The jazz hands. They're
Hello there, sir. I got some news for you. Your product is coming. It'll be here by 2.
That's actually the base you're going to make when you receive the thrilling 3rd edition of the King Killer Chronicles, Broner in the Mist, on your doorstep from Amazon.com.
Okay.
Man.
I think this guy's my favorite guy because you don't do this if you're not just kind of like vaguely in on it. Like this guy commits
in
a way.
Be here by 2.
Service is sale. Selling is service.
Selling is service.
All right, hold on, pause it.
Service.
Yes. Just go back a little bit.
To what?
It is the holiday season, of course. Not yeah. This shit. Jesus, Nikki's flexing the guns. I want everybody on the left here to pay attention to the rarely talked about 13th reindeer, Guadalupe.
Selling is service.
Service is selling.
Hold on. I want to learn this dance.
Service is selling.
Like she doesn't quite want to do the one where they just shake their in your face. So she does kind of the romp and stomp, and then she shows that she shaved her
armpits. No, she kind of looks like the Bushwhackers from WWF. Like she kind of has the Bushwhackers move going.
I don't know. Well, here.
It's service.
Service is selling.
Shave today.
Oh,
All right, now here's the conflict. This guy comes in, walking very slowly.
My name is Jill, and I don't like to sell. I'm an unhappy person. Everyone can go to heck. Complain, complain, that's all I like
pause it.
To do. All
right, all right, all right. The kids are ready. What? What? Don't tell me I locked up again.
No.
I looks like I locked up again. Looks like you want to take it over. You want to explain to the nice people what's up?
Hi there. It's Roberto Vegas once again, host of my so-called Life, which I realized last time I actually said my podcast, which means that when behind a mic, I just kind of tendency to do that. Once
yep.
again,
no,
Brian's
sure.
ISP has taken a huge dump again, Tony. Now, normally, again, you'd end up cutting this out
yep.
and try to edit it and kind of, you know, try to dance around the error. But because I'm happy to be here
yep.
and I can actually talk.
I got
to
unplug it and plug it back in.
He's got to unplug it, plug it back in because I can at least vamp a bit and kind of, you know, joke around and kind of keep the audience at a certain lull level, at least. You don't have to cut out any of this. It's one of the
magical called, it's
times.
Called noise.
It's
you,
called
you
noise.
Keep the noise rocking.
I bring the noise and I bring the funk. You know, I maybe not the funk, but at least the noise.
Exactly. Well, here, you want noise? We could play we
yeah.
could play this right here.
The weather is cloudy and I'm feeling sick too.
Hello there.
Can you pause this really quick?
All right, wait, well, what? What?
I just love this guy, the actual, like, the guy with, like, leather jacket just looks like he's totally,
Like what?
I'm just looking at this guy, and he's like, the extra that they get. It just looks like it's, like, almost like a just a, I'm a customer, and, like, way too much, and,
Dude, no, he's selling it,
he's
is
selling
what that
it,
is.
But I'm
come
like,
on, now, look at this guy. Watch the slow stomp okay. in. That's what customers do to sassy, salty employees.
Hello there, Jill. They call me Happy Pete. I came to to buy my
Patrick. This is like the beginning of every porno.
Yeah, exactly. Patrick, you haven't seen this video, right?
No, I have not.
Give me on a scale of 1 to 10 the likelihood that she gives him a Jolly Roger behind the counter by the end of this back and forth.
I would say I'm just trying to not think of what a Jolly Roger is.
Take it away, Pete.
Well, number one, yeah.
Go ahead.
For the record, for those of you who don't know, a Jolly Roger is basically when she gets boarded like a ship by the Royal Navy.
There you go.
Whatever you want, I don't really care. Just leave me here moping in the depths of despair.
You look so unhappy. That you're making me sad. I won't buy as much.
I didn't even know what comes next. I'm already in love with this.
Cause now I feel bad.
Selling is service.
Whoa!
Service
whoa.
Is selling.
All right. Hold on.
Oh, he did. He popped out from behind the counter.
Number one, and that's a clear. I mean, I'm not a storyteller, but like
you're no Patrick Rothfuss. That's for damn sure.
I'm no Patrick Rothfuss. Okay, but I think it's fairly clear that what we have had illustrated to us visually is that all of a sudden she's on top of the counter and he's behind it. What do you think happened between those two shots where she was behind the counter and he was behind the other side?
Why don't we ask award-winning master storyteller Patrick Rothfuss what happened, Patrick?
Well, I think it's obvious that either he was quickly like redressing for the shot,
yeah.
Or we don't see Guadalupe in this shot either. So, you know, I
no,
I,
she's out giving Prancer a Jolly Roger.
All right, here, let's finish this thing up, and then we got some
service
important stuff.
Is selling
is service.
Okay, now there's definitely some double entendre there. Like she comes in all salty dog, and she's all like, I'm pouty and salty. And then he comes up from behind her, and then the first thing she says...
Selling.
Service is selling.
Selling is service.
By the way, what you didn't see, and actually the funny thing about this video is you can actually read the original script online. It's been floating around for a while. But what was cut out of this version of it is a one-shot... lockdown sexual encounter between the two of them where she starts crying like Halle Berry in Monsters Ball to make me happy. And they do that. And then we pick up where we pick up.
Yeah.
Here.
And then of course we get to the big dance number at the end.
Oh.
I think that was the best moment of the entire thing. For the audio listeners, it's this weird break where it cuts over and it's just a woman sort of like super awkwardly dancing, and then like right when you're thinking like, what's the point of this, she like trips and falls.
How about a scarf? You'll look dashing in jade. If you buy this usik, you'll have it made. We've got keychains and mugs and shirts.
There's no doubt this guy cooks meth, right?
I think he's the one who supplies all the meth. Sure. He's like, yeah, he's like Walter White of selling.
Exactly. I cook crystal meth in my trailer, I do.
Get all your gifts here.
Cooking up meth. Right for you.
Cooking up meth, it's nice and blue.
I love spending money. It makes me feel so good. Look at all this cute stuff. Who cares if I should?
Selling is service.
And service is selling.
Service is selling.
Rocks.
And selling is service.
The rocks you cook.
I gotta know where this came from. A musical training video is all it says there. And it's, wow, and this thing's a year and change old, a year and a half old, and it's only got 100,000 views. This is too much gold. We got to blow this thing up. But not as much as what we really need to blow up, which is the whole reason that Patrick joined us here tonight, is because he has an awesome, awesome charity event going on. Tell us all about it, Patrick.
Well, I started a little charity a while back on my blog, and it's spiraled out of control over the last 5 years. Every year, me and some publishers and some other authors and just a bunch of interested people get together and we try to raise money for Heifer International. So if you want, we're giving away literally like $50,000, $60,000 worth of signed books, rare books, stuff donated by publishers and authors. We're running a bunch of auctions, stuff that you'll like never have a chance to buy in other places. Like just last night, we launched the auctions where you'll have a chance to buy like cameo appearances in upcoming books, including my upcoming book, Broners in the Mist.
Yeah.
Broners in the Mist.
Okay, now here's what I liked about everything I read about Heifers. It's Heifers International is the main charity. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so the difference is you guys are like, look, we shovel food in their faces. They ain't going to make them self-sufficient. They ain't going to do much. We give them a goat. They get milk for however long. They learn how to grow, and they get on their own feet, and they become self-sufficient is the idea, right?
Exactly. It's not just giving somebody a bag of rice. If you give a family, like, a goat, then there's milk for their kids. They can sell the extra. It's like effectively helping them start a small business of their own, and then they can give the baby goats to their neighbors, and like it just keeps going for generations and generations.
So for people who donate, how do they get to keep track of what happens to their donate? I mean, do they get to follow along? Do they get to follow the story? Because that's one of the best advances I've seen in charities in my lifetime has been that people perceive that they get something back for their donation. They get to see the good they've done as it cascades forward.
Exactly. While the fundraiser is going on, and we're doing it until about mid-January. And so if you go on if you Google up World Builders, you'll find us. And what we do is we occasionally post status updates for the different projects that World Builders has helped contribute to. So we've helped with projects in Nepal and Peru. This year, we're going to actually throw it open to a vote to see what people would like most of the money going to, including the matching money that World Builders itself donates. If we hit $400,000, I'm going to be stepping in and we'll be donating an extra $100,000 to the project of whatever people vote on.
Now, what is it that really attracted you to Heifer International to begin with? Was it specifically just the self-sufficiency, or was there a particular incident that you had where you got to see what the good they did firsthand that really encouraged you?
Well, it comes down to, once I actually published the book and I started making grown-up money, I started thinking I should give something back, because you know, people have been very generous to me. And so you want to do something nice for the world. Oh, there's the calendar we put out too. It's actually a fantasy themed pinup calendar, where 12 different, fantasy authors got together and they gave us the rights to, use one of their characters. Like there's Jacqueline Carey. We got Neil Gaiman and his rock star wife, Amanda Palmer, is actually served as his cover model, for his month.
And this is the truth. I saw this when Patrick was in, shooting Sword and Laser, but like, it looks awesome. It's something that you can actually, put up. If you love pinup art, you're going to be over the moon for it. If you're watching this show, you're going to love, and you need to get it, immediately. If, you just like, you know, sci-fi stuff and you're like, I don't know, pinup isn't really my thing, just give it a look. Go ahead on over to World Builders. It's worldbuilders.org, right?
Yep, you can find us on worldbuilders.org. Or like I said, if you just Google up World Builders, you'll find my blog. And it has links to the calendar, to our online store, to all the books people have donated. And we're putting up more books all the time because more publishers are coming on board. I'm sorry, I got distracted by the picture of the calendar there. The reason I ended up...
That's good. I was surprised. I thought this was all like a cute way for you to dodge the issue. Like you didn't want to tell us the real story. Be like, hey, look, girls. And then take it somewhere else.
What it comes down to is that Heifer is just like, you know, if you want to do some good in the world, you know, it's not that I don't want to cure cancer, but you're like, if I donate money to cancer research and I like manage to raise like a couple hundred thousand dollars, you know, that'll buy a piece of lab equipment or, you know, pay somebody's salary. It'll be a little piece of that. But for $200,000 or $300,000, this year we hope to raise $500,000 because over the last 4 years, we've raised over $1 million. And this year we've got way more support from the community. But for $500,000, like this is like literally this is going to be thousands of people whose lives are going to be tangibly improved. This is like thousands of kids who are going to have more food. This is thousands of families that will have like a better chance to actually take care of themselves, not just receive charity. You get a little charity and then your life is better forever, and they get to help their neighbors make their lives better.
I think that's one of my favorite things about charity in the internet age is that we seem to, in the last decade or so, have entered a transition period where it's not just about, I gave this money to an amorphous cause and now I can sleep better at night. But now we want to see a return on investment as, just as the internet has made possible the middle-class patron and the middle-class rock star, we've made powerful the middle class philanthropist, and it's a smart philanthropy.
Well, and it's also just communication. You know, we understand the problems better, we understand the solutions better because there's more of a responsibility for charities to explain them, because there's not really a barrier that they have to like put in a mailer, and it's like all right, yeah, back in the day before the internet, it's like, you want to spend this much money to write up a thing and print a thing and mail a thing? No, screw it, give it to the thing that matters. And so you don't know what goes on. Now we can know exactly what goes on and understand this. I saw there was a and I forgot where it was, but Penn Jillette's off doing his book tour for his new book. And he made a point that we always, especially like over the last year or so, we talked a lot about like the 99%. Like anybody in America ain't the 99% of the world. I'll tell you that. We're the 1% of the world. And it doesn't take a lot to go a very, very, very long way in a lot of these countries. And this is a fantastic way that you can do that. Now, I don't say that to be like, feel bad because you're better than others. Like, just understand that, like, what is a fraction for you, for a lot of people, for us, what we spend, you know, the cliche is for a price of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, like, sure.
Whatever. You know, for the price
coffee
that you'll spend to try
screw
to
your organically
the
grown
the
fair
shop
trade beans, you asshole. Give the money to somebody who deserves it.
But yeah, I mean, just understand, little bit of money goes to an awesome cause, like this. This is fantastic. Go ahead and hit it up, worldbuilders.org.
Real quick, Patrick, before we wrap this part up, what has been your best favorite moment of the World Builders experiment so far?
The coolest thing kind of has been happening over a series of years. Neil Gaiman, boosted our signal our very first year, tweeted about the fundraiser and sent us some stuff. And one of those things was like a signed, numbered ARC of Stardust. So this is literally like a thousand, like this book is worth $2,000-$4,000 to a collector.
Wow.
And what happens is every year, the first year we gave it away in the lottery to a lucky winner. If you donate $10, you have a chance to win like one of thousands of books. And so the winner donated it back to the charity when they won it and said, you should auction this off. It'll bring in more money. And then the year after, somebody bid on it and won it for $3,000. And then donated it back to the charity, said,
oh, that's amazing. So they just
put it back into the lottery so that anyone can win it and love it. And
that's
so
awesome.
And this year we're putting it back into the lottery so that anybody can have a chance to win it again. It's been redonated every year by someone who's either won it or bought it in the lottery. And it's almost like the mascot of the fundraiser.
That is phenomenal. And it's those moments of spontaneous, like a generosity avalanche that keeps rolling forward that makes these moments so incredibly precious. Also precious is, our favorite new movie coming out this summer, Duck Humper, Put the Quack in Attack, featuring Justin Robert Young and Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah, that was the pilot for the TV series by J.J. Abrams.
It was sort of a reboot on the Kingkiller Chronicles before it even came out the first time. He decided he needed to reboot it as Duck Humper, The Apocalypse. And of course, don't forget, we mentioned
before. It's my new film, Duck Humper. Yeah.
So, and don't forget, of course, Broner's in the Mist. We also have the alternate cover design coming up right here. Look, man, I think we're... Oh, Justin. This is normally the part where I say we've got to wrap everything up and I start playing this music right here. And then I forget and I say, oh, wait, we need to play the movie
you
draft.
You forget, sure. You forget to do it, you know.
Because I pretend to be drinking the entire show and not paying attention and being fully unprepared. That's my bit.
Absolutely.
Is what I do. Yes.
Absolutely.
But the person who has already contributed, I say we take this week's movie draft minute, we flush it right in your Broner hole. We'll just get rid of it, and then we'll do it live with none other than Roberto Villegas. Hold on, let me actually turn this over.
Pardon it.
Okay.
Let's do it live.
Here, just let me know when the music.
Where's the camera? I just switched over to this camera.
There's like no other place to put it. Where
everything's fine. That's fine. Yeah, everything's great. It's beautiful. You look.
That's it.
I look
great. For us.
It's a great.
Coming up
it's
next.
A great.
It's a totally right,
fabulous
show.
Do you have music?
I have music just ready.
All right, here we go. All right, go ahead and rock it. Take it away for the movie draft minute. Roberto Villegas, go.
Welcome to movie draft minute for the week of December 11th, 2012. I'm your host, Roberto Villegas. Can you believe it? We're this close to the end of the draft, and it's so freaking close. Let's go check out the scoreboard. Tom Ayrton, sixth place with $130.4 million. Padre Robert Ballastar is in fifth place with $195.7 million. Justin Robert Young's in fourth place with Playing for Keeps, bringing in $6.1 million this week, bringing his total to $244.5 million. Scott Johnson's in third place with $315.4 million. Sarah Lane's in second place with $333.9 million. And still in first place with $408.9 million, it's Brian Brushwood.
Woo!
And that is your movie draft minute for the week of December 11th, 2012.
Say your name.
I'm your host, Roberto Villegas.
There you go. Get out of here. All right.
I usually end on that note.
No, I'll tell you what, man. This is an interesting one because I think it's a two-man race between Tom, or I guess maybe three-man. Tom, me, and if Les Mis makes $100 million, then maybe Scott Johnson. But I don't think it will. I think Tom's crazy when he says that. Nobody cares about French people. That you could put that on my tombstone. But the... Sorry, France.
Don't be sorry. Own it. Suck on it and like it, France.
Actually, that's the complete
tombstone. Hey, France. Why don't you get up in it, son? Suck.
So, but
what's
but,
France ever done?
But here's the thing: is like right now, like it's so weird. We've never had a draft like this.
Besides the Enlightenment.
I am in first place with a $280 million lead, and Tom is in last place. But one of the last movies coming out is The Hobbit. And basically, he's going to...
Obey, actually, in France.
He's going to crush... Wait, did you say obey in France?
Yeah, it's the obey. The obey in France.
Okay. I thought you were saying, like, that was French for obey me, was Hobbits.
No. It is obey.
Obey.
An unexpected journey.
Yeah, it's an S&M flick in France. Obey.
Obey.
Anyway, I'll tell you what. We're going to have...
Frodo Baggins, he goes. Bilbo, sorry. Frodo's at the beginning, though, I read in a review. Oh.
I was... Jeez.
Why are they splitting a 19-chapter book into three movies? Kind of BS.
So what I was trying to say is that this is going to be like a Hangin' Chad Florida nightmare scenario, because we are going to – New Year will come and we will not have a clear winner yet, because –
All the pre-scenes will have yet to be reported.
Yes, exactly. And because Les Mis is the very last one, it's going to trickle in and Scott – I mean, this thing may not be decided until freaking January 22nd, and then we can all argue loudly and throw things at each other.
Just in time. Just in time for prime preseason for me to defend my title in the summer movie draft.
So you're actually wishing for this. You want more pain and misery. All right. Well, speaking about pain and misery, if you want to experience vicarious pain and misery of one of the greatest characters in all of I was going to say historical fiction, but I guess this isn't a true story, is it, Patrick?
Well...
No, in all sincerity, Name of the Wind is the most exciting book I have read in the last 5 years. I mean, it was a fresh take.
And that includes the Bible.
It was
suck it, Bible.
It was a fresh take on a genre that I really...
J/K, Brian's never read the Bible. In case anyone wanted to write a letter... Brian's never read the Bible, and he ain't never gonna.
Unless Padre SJ quietly whispers it to me every night. He can call me and just say, Genesis chapter 2. And then
P-O-P-E. Why you no read my writings, B? I'm the Pope.
So anyway, definitely read Name of the Wind and enjoy the Kingkiller Chronicles. Where can people follow you? Obviously, worldbuilders.org, Patrick. Any place else you'd like people to check out?
If people are really curious, I'm doing stuff on my blog with fair regularity. For the rest of this month, we're mostly running the fundraiser on there, but other times I just dick around there mostly.
Right on.
Oh, and I do a show with Geek and Sundry Storyboard every month if you're more of a video type person.
All right, you're just going to kind of drop that as a little aside, like BT Dubs got a show on Geek and Sundry. Peace out. Rothfuss out. Boom.
Everybody, go roll on over to Geek and Sundry. Make sure you sub to Geek and Sundry. Number one, because like half our friends do stuff on Geek and Sundry.
Everyone except for us. That's their new tagline. Everyone you love, except Brian and Justin.
Except for the NSFW idiots.
That's right. Thank goodness those assholes are not.
Exactly. Everybody except for who is actually what Felicia Day would say. I don't believe I'm familiar with them. So yeah, no, Geek and Sundry, go sub there. And of course, Patrick, you've been amazing. You got to come back, like, immediately.
Dude, yeah, you were absolutely incredible. Thank you so much, Patrick. I got a plug after that I have to do after the song ends, because we're already at the end. But it's at scamstuff.com. I'll just do it real quick before we run out of time. Scamstuff.com, 48-hour sale, $30 scam packs, $15 half packs, and then we're done for the year. So eat.
Belt!
What? Oh, you want me to play a little bit? What? Oh! Duck hump! Yeah! What? Oh, yeah! Woo! Duck humper. We'll be right back.
There's sometimes where I look at the things that I've that people have captured of me doing on the internet, and I just like almost want to run for Congress.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean,
everyone's like, oh, I can't do it. There's too much things of me. No, now I want to, just because that would be an awesome race.
You're like,
which would be like. Discovered again today, another gif of candidate Young doing something called the duck hump.
How do you explain? Now, you and I have talked like early on about how I used to call
I'd say that was me doing power squats because I'm committed to fitness. Ladies and gentlemen, in this episode of NSFW, we are joined by award-winning author and fantastic man beard grower, Patrick Rothfuss. We do a lot of things, including spin a yarn about a muffin.
That was so hard to keep in, Brian.
That was so much wind. You gave me that setup. You're like, we do a lot of things. I'm like, oh, well, clearly he wants this.